Production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
The outgoing and incoming chairs of the Memphis City Council tonight on Behind the Headlines. I'm Eric Barnes with the Daily Memphian. Thanks for joining us. I am joined tonight by Kemp Conrad, the outgoing chair of the Memphis City Council. Thanks for being here again.
Thanks for having me.
Patrice Robinson is the incoming chair of the Memphis City Council. Thank you for being here.
And thank you.
Along with Bill Dries, reporter with the Daily Memphian. So you are still Kemp chair and a city councilman until January, right? When the new people are sworn in?
Is correct, that how it works? End of the year. That's right.
And you'll be done. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then you have been elected to take over in January.
Yes.
I have my logistics correctly. Okay. You had what it would be now about a week ago. We're taping kind of in a weird order here because of the holidays. Quite a discussion about MLGW and a bunch of things, actually. It was a busy end to the year. You passed hikes on, what was it, water and gas?
That's absolutely correct.
Why did it take so long, and what did you get that you weren't getting in the other discussions with MLGW that got you to the point that this passed?
So as a council, we had so many things that we were trying to accomplish throughout the end of this fall, and it was our goal to get those things accomplished. MLGW brought the information to the table, they kept bringing it to the table, but we didn't really have time. It's not on them, it was on us, so I have to be honest about that, to have that full discussion. Well, on this past, a week ago, Tuesday, we decided that now it's time for us to have that discussion. Let's get it out in the public and let's get this done. We've been there all evening, the 2 weeks before, and we gave MLGW an opportunity to be up first. We allowed that to happen. We listened. Council members were, I'm sure they had problems with trying to say, you know, we really don't want to give all these rate increases, not just to MLGW, but we were talking about trash collection
as well. Yeah, we'll get there as well. Yeah.
Yes. But here we decided, okay, we can do gas, we can do water. Gas was zero anyway. It wasn't going to cost us anything. Water was $2.23, but electric made us pause a minute. But I believe we'll get back to that.
And let me bring Kemp in. So you had a proposal. You made a number of statements, and I'll do a bad job paraphrasing them, about kind of a lack of trust of MLGW to execute the things they've talked about. And we've had JT Young, president of MLGW on the show, been here. He's been in that job for 2 years. He's talked about this, $1 billion in deferred maintenance and all the things that need to be done. And he's been pushing for rate increases all year. You raised some real questions about that, not so much impugning him, I don't think, as a person, but just saying we're not sure as a council that we want to give you this electric hike until we know how you're going to spend it and what you're going to do with it. Is that a fair characterization of what
you said? Yes, and I think this has been a trend for the last several years. They have, over the last several years, been wanting increases. The council has not passed them. And I think it's interesting. They came to us earlier this year with a budget, which we did not accept. And we asked them to go to work and find some efficiencies. And I commend them on doing that. They commissioned a study, a lot of really good information in there. So now they've come back, and what happened? Because of the work of the city council and what we thought, and then the hard work they did, the budget that they presented on Tuesday was 24% less of a rate increase as what they had requested originally, and they found $40 million in recurring efficiencies that would take about 5 years to kick in and then be about $40 million ongoing. Mm-hmm. That's about 10% of their O&M budget, or the budget that they can control. The lion's share of their budget is purchase power from TVA.
So O&M is overhead.
The operations and maintenance. Okay. So you know the operations side of it. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword. So I'm glad they did the work, but it showed, hey, the president's been there 2 years. His executive team has been there for a long time. Why haven't they done this before? You know, we're paying them good money to do this. And so and in their reporting to us, it said, hey, they're gonna come back annually. There just wasn't the confidence that, hey, we're gonna give you this money, approve a 5-year budget, and that you're really going to execute on these things. And I think, and I've talked to five of the new council members that went over orientation, and I think that there's just a bit of a, they are a division of city government, but I think there's a little bit of a imperious attitude, a little bit of arrogance. And that was also, that was referenced in the report that Memphis Light, Gas, and Water needs to be a better collaborator. And it's a culture thing, and that's leadership. So I think highly of JT, but I think that MLGW's got to change. I think that was the message that we've been sending, that we continue to send, and I hope that the new council does not give them a blank check, but makes them prove these things with a reporting mechanism to make sure that we get this important work done.
And I want to also say, over the last 4 years, during committee, I have asked for reports and report and report, because they've never done that before. But they have a calendar at the beginning of the year, and I say, these are the things that the citizens want you to report back to us on. But now we need a plan, a work management plan, so that we know what are, where we're going to be 5 years from now, 4 years from now, and how the citizens can hold you responsible. And now that we have a new chair over the MLGW committee, we're going to make sure that they bring those reports back and everybody knows
let's get Bill.
And I also had that in my resolution last night, that they would come do a report every 30 days. I had money in so the council could hire a consultant to make sure that we managed that appropriately. Kind of modeled after what we did with the sexual assault kits, when we took that process and improved it and had reporting metrics, deliverables. That's what the city council expects from Memphis Light, Gas, and Water, to deliver on those savings and efficiency, so we can keep Memphians with more money in their pockets and also get the infrastructure upgrades.
All right, so the electric rates are going to come back. Memphis Light, Gas, and Water is going to come back with some kind of alternate proposal on the electric rates, since they didn't pass. Your plan didn't pass either, your alternative that you just outlined. But your point was that the electric rate hike wouldn't have kicked in until July anyway, and your point was, even if you don't get the rate increase for electric, there's nothing stopping you from starting on infrastructure improvements.
Well, yeah, the plan was, I wanted to put the tension where it belongs, which is on MLGW, okay? And they have found these savings. They say they're gonna deliver on the savings. So what I was proposing was, we would vote on the increase and it would kick in as soon as they found $10 million in recurring savings. As soon as they did that, then the rate kicks in, because that would show that they're serious about implementing the savings. Let me give you one example. The community centers is where about 3.3 million of the savings comes from.
And there are five of those.
There are five of those. They had no savings in that for 2020. Well, there's one in Millington. It's not even in Memphis. They could have closed that one. There are over 80 other places in the city where people can pay their bills. We had a map of it. They're all around where these payment centers are, number one. The second thing that why these are important are, people come get credit counseling services in these. We'd worked very hard with the administration and MLGW over the last few weeks to have that, so that would be set up in libraries, which are also very close to these payment centers. So there was no reason that, as an example, they couldn't close a payment center that wasn't even in the city of Memphis in Millington, when people are still gonna be able to pay their bills, get credit counseling. And that just shows me they're really not serious about implementing these savings. Mm. That's just one example.
Patrice, closing the community centers or leaving them open remains a hot button issue.
Yes, that's definitely a hot button issue. And I believe that the community should have an opportunity to have some say so in the planning of that. However, in this budget, they do have some efficiencies built in, but it's not clear to the council, but it's here. And that's something that they will bring back to the table, what those efficiencies are for this budget and how they'll use those dollars. But to continue to kick the bucket down the road, or this can down the road, is not prudent, because we have to get bonds. Most of the equipment that needs to be replaced takes almost a year. You have to order it, and it'll be another year before you get it, but you got to have the money a year ahead of time. If we move that off too far, then we're now 2 years down the road rather than just one.
The way that this works in all of its formality is that if the council rejects a rate hike from Light, Gas, and Water, a rate hike proposal, that the MLGW board then comes back with a proposal. You all can't come up with your own proposal for a Light, Gas, and Water rate hike. That has to come from the board. But since the council made its decision, the MLGW board has changed that up
yes.
a bit.
I went to their meeting this past Wednesday, and the last resolution that went before the MLGW board was to allow the president to negotiate with the council within the boundaries of the dollars that were already in the budget. And they gave him permission to do so. So now that we can have some conversation about some changes to the way the structure of the plan over the next 5 years.
Your plan didn't get approved by the council, but there's nothing to prevent the utility from taking up your ideas. Do you think they will?
We'll see. I mean, we'll see if the council, you know, like some of it. I mean, I think the monthly reporting would definitely be a good thing. I think one of the things in hindsight that may have been a little bit better would be like a paygo on the electric until some savings are achieved.
What's pay for people not?
So paygo would be just to pay from the pay for certain capital upgrades as opposed to going and do a bond issue. So you just kind of pay as you go. So I hope it all works out. I just think MLGW's got to come towards the council and understand that they are a division of city government that work with us. And make sure that these things are getting executed on.
We mentioned solid waste. That was also passed, a hike in solid waste of, $7.16 a month, takes it up to about $30 a month. You all had not passed that, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. The mayor came out and said if he didn't get that increase, he was going to have to lay off about 200 full-time sanitation workers, that curbside pickup of garbage, not in containers, would be reduced or eliminated. Recycling would go to once a month. Was that the kicker for y'all, or did you get something else out of it that made you feel like, well, we're going to have to pass this?
So, number one, you cannot give people better service and just take it back from them. I was not going to my community or my district or even say that in the first place. Whatever I had to do to fight, I was willing to fight. But then we started getting calls from pastors, from the community, saying, no, we can't get rid of those sanitation workers. They need those jobs. Look at the poverty level that we already have. That was going to be more than a hot button issue in Memphis. That was going to be a battle.
Yeah. I'm watching it somewhat from the outside. I mean, I read the stuff, but I'm not at council, like obviously like you are at Billis. It was sort of surprising that just suddenly there were going to be 200 layoffs and massive reduction in services. How did that only come out at what felt like the last minute?
Well, I certainly understood, and I think a lot of people that were meeting with the administration, I mean, those were the options, so I certainly understood that. Maybe maybe some didn't. I don't think that, I think the administration thought they probably had the votes the night that it failed 6-6. I think probably some people, you know, thought it was going to pass, and they probably wanted it to pass, but not vote yes for it. So I mean,
okay,
yeah.
And just so I have my math right, it's going from $22 to $29. Is that about right?
It's going to $29.96 from $22.80.
Yes,
I don't know how
great.
I know that, but
it's actually kind of sad. But yeah. But I'm glad you do, Bill. What next?
So initially, the administration's response, like that evening, was, okay, we have to do something. This can't go on indefinitely without a rate hike, and that was the deal when we upgraded services in May, that we wouldn't raise the fee, but down the road, we would certainly look at what it cost us. But it seemed to be more gradual in the aftermath of the vote. So was this kind of good cop, bad cop by the administration, or you know, I mean, you had two members who voted for it, who voted against it, and the implication was kind of that they didn't like the mayor coming out and saying, we're going to whack this on January 6th if you don't approve it.
Right.
So was there kind of a good cop, bad cop approach by the administration on this?
I just think they were trying to, I think the emails, it probably scared. I mean, I think we all knew it was going to, I knew the day after it was going to be probably brought back and passed. So I assume the administration did. So I think it was a little heavy handed. I think a lot of people thought they were going to lose their jobs. It didn't need to be worried, especially during this time of year. And I had a lot of people in the community, and Vice Chair Robinson just alluded to pastors and things calling. And so I think some of the people, I just think some people thought other people were going to, it was going to pass anyway, but they could still vote no, and it failed 6-6. I think everybody was surprised, but I also think the mayor was just trying to, you know, one thing I love about city government, a lot of it's a business, you know, it's a $700 million business. And if you don't have the money, it's something's got to give. And I think those were the stakes, and I think they've done a really good job. Unlike in years past, sometimes with Mayor Harrington and Wharton, where you had these scare tactics and nothing would happen. I mean, we run a pretty tight ship, and it's like, hey, if we don't get the funding, we've been working on it, we've been communicating it, this is the other option, or unless y'all have other options. And so they kind of call the question on it. And I voted yes the first time, I voted yes the second time. It wasn't perfect what I wanted, but politics is the art of the possible, and it was the best thing that we could get at least 7 votes for to keep delivering the services that people have come to expect.
Let me, if I can, move on, because we have 10 minutes left here, and move on. Similar themes of spending and a $700 million business and the choices that you all make. The population passed, the city passed a referendum in the fall that would essentially increase sales taxes to restore the benefits to a certain category of fire and police. How will you, as you take the reins of the city council, you'll have 7 new members because of all
six.
The term, 6, excuse me, 6 new members because of all the terming out. How will you set about to implement the restoration of those benefits in a responsible way?
The first thing is that we have to get a report back from our actuaries to tell us how those dollars can be used. Right now, it's my understanding, it's not even enough money to do what the police and fire want us to do with it. So now we have to know what are our possibilities and what can we do. And as a council, we can manage that by making sure that we review those reports, ask the right questions, and ensure that over the next at least 20 to 30 years that we have covered our pension fund in a responsible manner.
So is there, the mayor was on after that vote, Mayor Strickland, and talked about, you know, there needing to be, and he wasn't clear, but some sort of mechanism in place because as outgoing Chair Kemp Conrad has very adamantly made the point, this money is variable, it can go down really dramatically, sales tax revenue can during a recession. There may not be if the county takes half of it, it's about $50 million, the county could take half if they go through a process. Have you begun talking or thinking about a mechanism that, as you said, doesn't just look at restoring the benefits in 2020, 2021? How do you put something in place that keeps everything solvent over the long term?
So the way you do that is make sure that in your pension committees, and that's something that we do have, a seat at the table to ensure that we have a practice of looking at our returns over amount of time and having a plan just to stick to that. But we can, as a council, determine that we do some new resolutions around how we handle those dollars. But I think the key to this is making sure that we use the actuary tables and make those decisions using real data.
Are you any less concerned than you were? Because we had you on I think it's
unfortunate, and I know we disagree on this. I do think police and fire should be treated differently. They have a much tougher job. I know Vice Chair Robinson thinks that all employees should be treated more equally.
Yes.
And so I think she is going to be an advocate for, if we're doing this for police and fire, we should do it for all employees. That's going to cost a lot more. I respect that position. I disagree with it, but there are good arguments to be made on that side. So. It's going to be.
It couldn't exist without the other employees.
We could have a good, healthy, fun debate. It's a reasonable argument. I disagree with it, but I get it. And so we're talking about upwards of $40 million. Pension's only $2 million, though. The real kicker is the health care. What we also found out after the referendum was that I think it was 600 police officers have the ability to retire. So if they're able to now retire with 75% of healthcare in perpetuity, are we going to have, talk about a real crisis on the police side of the equation? So, I think we're going to have there's going to be, as I said, in the next 2 years, a major property tax increase to pay for this. That's why we made the decision in 2014 or whenever it was to make these hard choices. I believe it is the foundation on which the momentum our city is experiencing now is built on. And I'm just afraid that this is going to halt it. And we don't have a recruiting issue or a retention issue. That was all a myth. And I think it's going to have the opposite effect.
Bill?
A myth? You really think it's a myth?
I think that we've hired more police. It's hard to recruit police everywhere. We do not have an issue in fire, absolutely.
That's right.
Policing is one of the hardest jobs to do. Everybody has a tough time doing that. But I'm saying that we've recruited more police officers the last 4 years, like in the last 10, we hired almost 200 this year. I'm saying that we're doing all those things. Attrition is back to normal. So thanks for letting me clarify that.
Yes.
So in the new year, when you get the actuarial information, and if down the road, let's say, because I think everyone agrees that maybe right off the bat there might be the money there, but if there's not in year three or four or something like that down the road, what does the council do? Are your options limited on that?
No, our options are not limited, because we can change the plan. We can change the way the plan is now distributed. So if we have a scale of, if you retire in 25 years, 30 years, 40, whatever it is, we can make those changes. And I don't believe that it's enough money to share across the board this time, Kip. I have to agree with you. It's not going to be enough. But I believe that over time, we're going to have to make some shifts. And it might not be that we do 75-25. It might be 60-40. But we're going to have to actually look at those numbers and see how they will impact us over the next 20 to 30 years.
But is that restoring the benefits that the council cut under terms of the referendum?
So if you didn't ask for enough money to restore your benefits, it's not restoring it anyway. I'm just being honest about that. You got to have enough money. That was not enough money to do it.
Do you have any indication from the police and fire unions that they would be willing to talk about that if that happened?
I'm sure they will. They don't have a choice. Because it has passed, we're going to work with them, but you can't take something to a level that you don't have enough money to do that with.
Is all this, in part, you all approved a referendum, what, next year for residency requirements?
This year,
2020. In 2020, yes. So, that's all right. We're right at the end of the year and it's all confusing. I don't know where you stand on that. Are you in favor of residency requirements for, let's focus on police, because that's where the real hiring issue is, and the fear of more people leaving and the attrition and so on. Are you concerned about opening that up to a 50-mile radius for the residency requirement?
So I'm the one that changed it to a 50-mile radius because it was 2 hours. And as a compromise, I said that, 50 miles would probably be reasonable. However, the police department and fire department, they want their benefits restored, but they want to send the tax dollars outside the city of Memphis. That doesn't make sense. For me to give them what they want, I have to be able to create more revenue. I've got to be able to keep more money in the city of Memphis. And their plan was to allow it to go. The police director said himself, I don't care where they come from. I really don't either. But if you want to do the things that you want to do, and you want me and the citizens of Memphis to supply the dollars that you need, well, we've got to create the revenue. And the only way we can do that is through our tax dollar. And they can't keep going outside the city. We've got to control it and keep it within Memphis and Shelby County.
Just a couple months left. Your take on where that goes? You'll be voting it as a non-elected official in that.
Yeah, when the police director says, while y'all debate this, the bodies are stacking up. Our most solemn duty is to keep Memphians safe. If we can't be safe as a city, we can't be anything. I'd much rather everybody live in the city of Memphis. But to me, the main filter is, if you are a victim of crime or about to be a victim of crime, the last thing on your mind is, where does this police officer live? If they're willing to come risk their life and serve Memphis, I don't care where they live. I'd rather them live here. I don't want to mandate it. And we definitely need to keep getting more police officers. And so to me, it's pretty simple. Plus, we pay millions and millions in overtime.
Yeah,
it dwarfs what a equivalent property tax would be for another 300 police officers.
The theory is, if somebody lives out in Shelby, out in Fayette County or in Mississippi or something like that, they're not paying property taxes in Memphis. They're not
right.
Necessarily.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So. With just 2 minutes left. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Incoming. 2 minutes left. The Greensward. Full disclosure that I'm on the board of the Overton Park Conservancy and was president of the board and vice president of the board during a lot of the heated discussions about that. Construction was paused before they started encroaching on the Greensward. There's now conversation about a parking deck. I'm going to start with Camp, because I think you were chair the first time during a lot of that, if I'm not mistaken. I know you were in the middle of it. I know you were too.
2016.
Yes. Your take on this pause and what might happen next with a parking deck.
Yeah, I'll say, one of the things I regret, or a bad public comment I made was the fringe element, which got taken way out of context. So I was much more involved in that than I wanted to be.
That went over well.
I got some t-shirts made. But it was a very, it was an unfortunate civic discourse in general, where I see those as high class problems. They're great opportunities to solve. And I was just really disappointed the way with the zoo and the Greensward, how it eroded into what it was. And frankly, I'm very concerned that the sequel to that, right now it's Christmas time and I've watched Home Alone 1, 2, 3, and 4. And number one was the best. The sequel wasn't as good. And I don't want to see the sequel to this with the riverfront and Memphis in May. And I'm concerned about that. But I'm not in the loop on the parking deck and won't be involved in it. So
30 seconds left. Your take on this pause and the possible parking deck, is that a good
thing? I was shocked because I didn't want to have that conversation again. I hope that was behind us. But here we are. We've got to discuss it again. And it may be a better plan. It may not, but we don't know yet. I'm looking forward to those very vibrant conversations.
What's next for you, 10 seconds?
Oh, I just, I just try to find some space. It takes a lot of headspace and emotional time. So I've got a great family, business, and just want to probably find some different ways to serve in the community. So
thank you.
Anything I can do for my good friend Patrice, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you all.
And thank you all for joining us.
Thank you all.
Join us again next week. Good night.